Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we're sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint, Motivational Word, PowerPoint, Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Tuesday morning edition as we continue our lesson that we just started, a lesson that we just started on what faith is. And we started out sharing with you about understanding that once we know what faith is not, then we are able to go and appreciate and have a better understanding about what faith is. And so I want to do is welcome you to our Tuesday morning edition. And as we continue our lesson, let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And again, I want to say good morning to you. Thank you for joining me as we continue our lesson, because why is the subject of faith so important to you and I as a part of the body of Christ? Because faith is the only currency whereby we can receive from God. Faith is not just a title, whereas, you know, it's a denomination. It is some of the things that we use and say you got to keep the faith. No, faith is the only currency, the only commodity. Good morning, Brother George. The only currency, the only commodity that we have that we can make the exchange from God. Grace is God's part, as I always say. Grace provides. So in other words, the faith that we have, sometimes you hear us say, my faith, but we're actually speaking the faith of Christ, or the faith of the anointed one and his anointing. We could not make exchange or believe God for anything if he hadn't already made the provision for it to be received. And so grace is God's unmerited favor, of God's favor in our life for what? Everything that he put in his word, that his son gave his life for you and I to be a partaker of. And once he was raised for our justification, meaning just like whatever our sin nature was, whatever made us estranged from God, like it never happened, then we have to use, the faith is, I have to trust and believe that God really sent his son that was sinless on my behalf, and let him take on my punishment, my judgment, whatever I rightly deserve. He put his son there for me because he loved me. And once I am able to, you know, to understand that and see that God did that for me, that's what favor is. Favor is giving you and I something that we don't earn, that we can't earn, that we didn't deserve. So when you have God's favor, and all humanity has this favor put in place for them, the problem is that we don't all understand what it is, that favor, how that favor work on our behalf. And this is the reason why I believe, one of the reasons why I'm sharing this lesson. It's not because I know so much. It's because I'm still growing. Even as I'm teaching you, I'm teaching myself to continue to grow and develop of what faith is. I've learned a few things, but my God, I'm still just as hungry as I was when I first got born again to know more, to understand a greater depth. And so from this perspective of what I'm sharing with you, that God's grace is, again, what he did for you and I, what we rightly don't deserve, He took all that was rightly ours and he put it on Jesus, so that you and I would not have to bear the burden of what sin did through the first Adam, or what sin has wrought in our life. It wasn't your fault that these things happened. And I know it's kind of hard to grasp that, because sometimes people point fingers and say, well, it was your fault. If you wouldn't have done this, this would never, you wouldn't have done that. Now, yeah, in the natural, I may have caused some type of effect of making wrong decisions, but who has not made them? My point to you is this: we make wrong decisions, or we took different turns in life simply because we were all connected through the first Adam. So we had no other choice but to choose to live selfish, to live prideful, to live arrogant, to live as a liar, or whatever. Why? Because when the first Adam broke rank, fellowship with God, and because when God created man, he put in Adam that it will reproduce after its own kind. If Adam, the first Adam, would have never sinned, then we wouldn't even be speaking in this matter. We wouldn't even be concerned, have a world that's filled with sorrow, that has so much hurt, a lot of death, a lot of pain. You think of it, all the things that we have right now, it is because of one man's transgression. But then God did not leave us in that condition, whereas we have to try to do the best that we could do based on the hand that's been dealt to me. No. No. If I didn't have a Savior, if I didn't know that I have been redeemed, that God sent his only Son to take my judgment of what I done wrong, the punishment of the things that I live my life, if I didn't know that, then I would have to live and do the best I can with the hand that's been dealt to me. But because Jesus already paid the price for it, knowing that I was guilty, knowing that I deserved everything that I got and more, God sent forth his Son in the likeness of sin. Now, I didn't notice how to say in the likeness. He wasn't sin, but he sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh to redeem you and I from what the first Adam brought us up under. Now that we have a better understanding of the freedom and the liberty that we have that is in Christ Jesus. Notice I said liberty and freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. It's not freedom to live my life like I want, because that's what happened before under the first half. That's why I live my life like I want. Why? Because I was trying to make my own decision based on what was before me, what was in my hand. But now that I understand that a decision for me to live a life filled with peace, a life filled with health, a life filled with joy, a life filled with victory, then now I have to recognize, how did this come about? And to whom do I owe my life to? Okay. Now, because we're talking about what faith is. Now, yesterday, I left off here in Colossians chapter 2, and I shared with you in verse 6, which says, again, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord. So how did I receive him? Romans chapter 10. Let's turn over there for a moment. Let's see, how did you return? Because what we said, we're talking about what faith is, right? So we say faith is a belief, it's a trust in something or someone that is spiritual or natural. In this situation, in the lesson that I'm sharing with you, our faith is in God. Okay? Our faith is in God. And because our faith is in God, then we need to find out, okay, what does your word says? Because once I discover and have an understanding of these spiritual truth, then I can act on my own will and say, I choose to follow God's word. I choose to stand on his word. Why? Because you have an understanding about a truth that was kept from you at one time and from me. But now that I understand that Jesus paid the price for my sin, I no longer have to be condemned, live guilty, live with sorrow, and most of all, live unforgiven. We don't have a problem forgiving others. But some of the mistakes that we have made ourselves personally, it's hard for us to forgive ourselves. And you need to forgive yourself if you're really going to have this confidence in being in right standing with God. Because your right standing, when we say I'm in right standing with God, it's not based on what I did or hadn't done. My right standing with God is because of what Jesus did. That's what gives me the right to have a confidence and say, I know that Jesus already healed my body. See, it doesn't make a difference what the conditions are. See, the reason why these conditions are there, because man had fallen, man has come short of the glory of God because of one man's transgression, which is the first Adam, which is what I've been explaining to you for the last 10, 15 minutes. But now that Jesus is the second, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the second and final Adam, I no longer have to live with a condition in my body. I no longer have to suffer with a condition or a crisis that may have been in my past. I can turn it loose. Like if you open a bird cage and let that bird, it's free. See, God has made you and I free that is in Christ Jesus. My freedom is not to live life like I want. My freedom is to live the life like God originally had put in place for us to live by. And the life that God has for you and I to live is so full of joy, is so filled with peace, is so filled with prosperity, that it's like we all have had days that we say, man, I have no want, life can't get any better. We know it could, but we understand because we have such peace, we have such rest, all is well. And we experience that temporarily from time to time. But in most cases, we're always dealing with something or walking something out, and we're doing our best to keep our sanctity and still do what God calls, you know, live life like we ought. Well, again, let's look at this. It says, as you have therefore received Christ. And again, I said, how did we receive him? Okay, let's look and see, because faith is involved in how you did that. All right, go with me to Romans chapter 10. And let's just look at this for a moment. Romans chapter 10. Why? Because, again, what guarantee do I have that heaven, I will go to heaven? Because, you know, you've never seen heaven. I've never seen heaven. I've never been there. So what guaranteed me that I would go to heaven? And we all say because Jesus forgave us of our sin, and which is very true. But did I personally make Jesus the Lord of my life? Did I personally say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin? Did I personally say, Lord, I receive you as my Savior? Because when we say Savior, save from what? See, that's the question we have. What are you and I actually saved from? Well, number one, we're saved from the wrath of God. Okay? Number two, we're saved, notice this, we're saved to live life to glorify him as we originally intended. The purpose of our salvation is so that God, we can honor God, we can worship God throughout the day. All during the day, God went through all of this so that we could conversate with him and he could conversate with us. And God is not always serious. I mean, we look at thinking that God is so serious and maybe God is holding something over our head. No, God loves to have fun. God is full of joy. God is filled with laughter. I mean, just think about it. Think about the endorphins that goes off in your body because you laugh. And notice how good you feel when you laugh, the stress that leaves. You feel relaxed or whatever because of a good... Well, why? Because when you start laughing, all of a sudden the endorphins that goes off in your body, it relieves your heart, your respiratory system, your immune system, your nervous system, it all releases all kind of stress and everything else that's going on. I mean, even your cholesterol level begins to drop. Everything. Why? Because you're letting off those endorphins that does what? That's giving you a fullness. It's giving you a freedom. It's like weight on your back just fell off. Well, this is what that life is that we have in Christ. And notice this. How did we receive him? Notice this. The first thing that took place, the Bible says, it says in verse 8, well, verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law. Okay? And he said, and notice this. He said, for righteousness to everyone that believes. So my righteousness, that's what we talked about the whole year, awakened to righteousness. My righteousness of right standing with God, again, it's not based on what I do, but it's based on what I believe that God sent his son to die in my place. Spirit, soul, and body. And that's the reason why you have to have an understanding that when you feel like you're suffering through something, you're going through a condition in your body, you need to become radically upset and say, this is not supposed to happen to me. And why? It's not because you're so much. It's because God loved you so much. He sent his only son, who was sinless, to take their place because it was never God's original intent for you and I to suffer. It was never God's original intent for us to bear any of these things. That's why you have this right. That's why this righteousness, this right standing with God, position you to open your mouth and say, I will not tolerate this in the name of Jesus. It has to be in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's the name that gave you back your freedom, that gave you back your liberty. That's the name that set us who were captive. You may be free in your physical body, but how many of us are held captive in our thought life? You're still carrying something 15, 20, 30 years ago, and it's just wearing you down. You're free from it. It could be a divorce. You are free from it, but yet you're still carrying the pain. You're still carrying the memory. Let it go. It's not doing anything to the person that you have been divorced from. It is bringing harm to you. It is bringing destruction to your internal organ until it kills you because you hadn't let go. It may not be a marriage, a divorce. It could be a money issue, something you may have invested and you lost money in it, and it probably was your life savings. You took a chance. I mean, look, I understand, but we cannot allow something tangible to do what? To destroy something that is more precious than any amount of money. That's your life. Whatever you lost, when you and I come back to the table and say, Father, I made a bad judgment call on this. I ask you for forgiveness. Now, Father, help me to restore or to recuperate what I lost or do better. That's what your Father is looking for you to say. He's not looking for you to come there and beat up on yourself. He's not looking for you to come and say, well, I know I don't deserve this, because you can't say that, because He already, He made you worthy. Colossians 1:12, God has already made you worthy. I know we could say, well, I'm not worthy of this. No, before we received Christ, no, we were not worthy. We were not worthy of all that God put His Son through for you and I, but He made us worthy because He loved us. So, what am I saying? Stop trying to show God how much you love Him by what you giving up, by what you doing of this and that. No. Why don't you just let God show you how much He loves you? And then when you find out and realize how much God really loves you, that comes through revelation knowledge. That comes through you continue to listen to the Word of God like this, reading your own Bible, attending a good word-based Bible church, so that you can continue to grow. And when you begin to really get an understanding how much God really loves you, what God really did for you, and you understand that, then you could begin to start saying, I love you, Lord, with all my heart in this area. Why? Because you learned something. You got a revelation on a proof. You have proof of God's love towards you. You have an understanding like you have never had before. And that's what causes us, when you say, you know, you may hear the word, oh, that's them holy rollers. But they don't know what we went through and what God did for us. And if you're going to consider me as a holy roller, I accept the badge of being a holy roller. Why? Because it's not a root. Holiness is a fruit. In other words, I'm willing to make a stand in this body, in this natural realm, by faith, and say, yes, I live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I am a born-again Christian. And yes, I do everything I can to walk in His truth. And when I miss it, I will repent and I will turn away from it, and I will continue to keep moving forward. That's what God looked for you and I to say. But notice this in Romans chapter 10. So we said in Colossians says, as you have therefore received Him, walk in. So we're looking at, how did we receive Him? How do we know that we have Him? And again, we said that Christ is the end of the law. Why? Because so many people have always tried to do what? Keep the law. Keep the commandments. The law is for lawbreakers. Now, because we are under this grace, now some have taken this out of too far, but grace supersedes the law. Here's the law, and here's grace. Grace will supersede the law. Are you understand what I'm saying? And once grace supersedes, what is that simply saying? That means whatever the law requires, grace has made me abound much more. Because the law requires this, but because of the love that God has for me, because of the freedom that he has put within me, I supersede the law. Because if I love my neighbor, then I won't steal from him, right? I won't do anything that will bring harm to him. Why? Because of that love that I'm experiencing from God. Can you see that? And that's why I say Christ is the end of the law, because why? He fulfilled what I couldn't do, right? And so here, and so verse 5, it said, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. It says that the man that does those things, should live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, that's what we're talking about. The righteousness which is of faith on this wise, he says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again. From the, in other words, Christ is not coming down again to die for you and I. Christ is not going to be raised up again from the grave for you and I. He's already proved it. It's not a every time I mess up, then Christ got to go back and die for me again. And then he have to be raised up again. No, that's not. Paul is saying here, he said in verse 8, he said, but what says it? The word is nigh thee. Okay, where is it? He said, the word is nigh you. He said, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. It is the word of faith that we preach. In other words, you can't receive the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the liberty whereby you and I are free, without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, it is, he said, but what says it? The word is nigh thee, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. It's the word of faith that we preach. Good morning, Bishop. It's the word of faith that we preach. Are you getting this? So, what is that saying? Everything that I'm saying from this point on, the word of faith got to be in two places. It's got to be in your mouth, because you can't have faith with your mouth closed. In other words, faith is a belief, right, in something or someone. So our belief is in God. So I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead for me. You must have the same confession. And if you believe that, then I confess with my mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. See? And then in my heart. And I believe in my heart. See? And when we talk about your heart, it's almost like it's a double, not a double negative, but a double, I don't know the right word, but your heart is consistent of twofold. Number one, it is your spirit and your soul. Because when the word heart is used, it can be used interchangeably. When you look at the Strong Dictionary, it can be used about your soul, and that can also be used of your spirit. So you know that change had to take place both in your spirit and in your soul. Well, watch this. Before your spirit could be really changed by the word of God from death unto life, your soul had to hear. You had to conceive that spiritual truth. That means words had to be spoken with such intellect that it supersede the negative thoughts, the negative vibe, the negative place that you were in your thought life, that these words are eternal life. These words are God's word, and it supersede the way you felt, the way you judged things. And you said, I believe that. Well, once your soul opened up and conceived that, then it drop down on the inside of your spirit, and you got sealed. Your spirit was sealed like a... I grew up in a neighborhood where my mom and the lady that lived next door to her, called Miss Amy, used to make preserved figs. Some of y'all may know what I'm talking about. Preserved figs, pears, tomatoes. I mean, you put, especially the figs, you put that on the stove, and they put all that sugar in there, and they put them figs. And then once it's done, they take a mason jar, pour that hot content in there, and then you have the top with the little lid, the little red rubber lid. And once that lid hit that heat of the content that's in there, it seals it. That means it keep all the outward contaminant out of it until you open that jar. Well, your spirit, according to Ephesians 1:13, is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's why sin can't get into your spirit. But sin can still affect you through your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. This is the reason why you hear me use Numbers 23:7 all the time. Proverbs 18:21, Numbers 23:7 said, as a man thinketh in his heart, see, I'm using that word heart, so is it. He's talking about his soul. Because why? You know, it can't be your heart that pumped blood. Because your heart that pump blood does, you know, it's that's part of the effect of your emotion, your physical emotion. But when we're talking about your heart here, we're talking about your thought life, your perception. And so that's why when Paul said this in Romans 10:9, he said, the word of faith is in two places. It's in your mouth, because your mouth has to be activated with the word of God. Amen. We live in a word activated world. Let me say that to you again. We live in a word activated world. And in other words, if I'm not saying anything, then you're not calling for anything. With your mouth closed, then no one knows what it is that you're speaking of. No one knows what you're calling for. When God spoke, when God created the heavens and the earth, in Genesis 1, I think it's 10, 11 times, I'm not sure, but I think it's about 10, 11 times, and God said. See, you have to open your mouth, and you have to speak to your storm. You have to speak to something that's not right, or you have to call for those things that belong to you, that trying to rob you of them. So when your body has pain in it or discomfort, then guess what? It's the pain that's trying to take away the victory of healing that's already yours. Now see, that sounds kind of strange. Because you see, healing comes forth out of your spirit. But in order for your spirit to release healing, for your body to experience it, it has to filter through your soul, how you think. And so if you're not accustomed to understanding these spiritual truths, then the enemy will shut off your thought life so that your body can't experience the healing. And this is why people live sickly, or people just go ahead on and die from pain and stuff, whatever. Why? Because they're congested in their thought life. Their perception won't allow them to conceive words that has power to heal. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? It's the same as medicine. You do the same thing with medicine. Medicine doesn't heal you. But what it does, it gives you a temporary release so that the body itself that God created, it can heal itself so that it can begin to start healing itself. Well, that's what you're releasing words of the Creator. He sent His word and healed them and deliver them from all their destruction. Well, He sent His word, but I have to be the one to do what? Receive it. So as the righteousness of God, and we say faith is voice activated, then that means in verse 9, he said, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart, see, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, who shall be saved? The person who confessed with their mouth, the person that believed in their heart, the person that believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. When you act on that, then it really, notice that it sent forth a spiritual enlightenment, a force enter into your heart, and all of a sudden, you have this new profound way of thinking, of looking, and all of a sudden, it's just like, man, I'm glad I'm saved. But now you have to be spiritually taught. Why? Because the enemy, the opposer that you and I are confronted with every day, he's going to be throwing daggers at you all the time. He's going to be doing everything he can through people, through circumstances, through situations to do what? To throw at you and I all the time to make us falter. Amen? So I took that much time to do what? To show you what it meant, as it says in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus. So the point of going back to Romans 10 to show you how you did receive him, so that now you will know how to walk in him. To walk in him simply means now the same way I confessed him as Lord and Savior, it's the same way that I'm going to confess him as my healer. As I'm going to confess him, notice it, it's the same way I'm going to confess him as my healer. I'm going to confess him as my my deliverer. I'm going to confess him as my prosperity. Everything is going to be the same way. Are you following what I'm saying here? So this is just part one. Before I close, so look at verse 10. Of Romans 10, he said, for with the heart man believe unto righteousness. See, in order for you to believe, you have to have heard the truth. You have to been convinced, persuaded that what you hear, I believe that. Because you have nothing physical, you have nothing tangible, you have nothing in this natural to support this. But because the way God created mankind, he has put an intuitive knowledge of himself. According to Romans 1:18 through 21, God has put an intuitive knowledge in each of us to know. And so because of that, in verse 10, it said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made where? Unto salvation. So notice what it said again. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness. That means your right standing with God is based on what? My belief. And notice this. And then it said, and with my mouth, see, confession is made unto salvation. Not just saved from sin, but saved from sickness. Saved from poverty, saved from defeat, saved from oppression, saved from everything that's wrong. When you understand the truth of this word and you grow in it little by little, you're not going to learn it all, but as you grow in these truths, you begin to understand, I'm not just saved from sin just to go to heaven. Well, I'm saved to do what? To walk with the Lord Jesus Christ every day, filled with joy, filled with love, filled with peace, filled with his victory, filled with his goodness. That's what we're saved for. We're saved to enjoy him, and he can enjoy us. God wants to enjoy you because the sin problem has been dealt with. God is not angry with you anymore about sin. He took it out on his son. He took the full penalty and weight, the judgment of what sin did to mankind, and he placed it on his son. If you don't believe that, then you will never be able to walk in this freedom that I'm talking to you about. You'll never be able to obtain what grace have made, and knowing that faith is the hand that appropriates it. You'll never be able to enjoy it, because your head won't let you go enjoy that. It will always make you feel to believe something is not right. Something is wrong. This not for you. This for someone else. And etc. And if you allow him in your thought life, he will talk you out of your blessing. He will cheat you out of your victory. He's a cheater. Are you getting this? Well, I'm going to stop right here. We're going to pick this up again tomorrow, God willing. And we're going to continue, like I said, what faith is. We're trying to show you little step by step to the best of my ability. And the way the Spirit of God has given it to me so that I can give it to you. Not that you don't know. It's just that so that we can continue to be strong. We can stay in the unity of the faith. When I say in the unity of the faith, in the unity of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an understanding about what the word saved mean. It's not just from sin. It's so that you can live a complete, whole, satisfied life. It's so that you can walk and enjoy eternal life now. Not when you get to heaven. Eternal life now. Amen. Glory to God. And everywhere we go, what we affect people's lives. We are the epistles. We are those walking technicians that, you know, if people need healing, we lay hands on them. We minister to them. They need deliverance. We minister to them. If they need help financially, we help them. Whatever. Because God so loved the world that he gave, not just for us, but he gave his son, his only begotten son, for the world. Amen. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, remember, this lesson will be uploaded on our podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. So you can go to your podcast and you can upload, put in that Grace Institute Online Bible School, and this lesson will be uploaded in there. You can listen again, or I would love for you to share it with someone else so that why? It can set the captive free. The more people that go free, the more people that have understanding of the love of God and how and what faith is, the more people we're going to have walking in this victory. Amen. And then we'll be ready to go home. Glory to God. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. And we'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. So have a great day. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. Bye-bye, everyone.